Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the TransPay Digital Women's Survey. And to help me with that conversation, I have Peter Shore, the General Manager at TransPay. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. Happy to be here.
To get things started, why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction to TransPay and what it is their role is within the payments industry?
I sure will, Ryan. So TransPay is a payout company, if you will. So we handle mass payouts for enterprise companies to make cross-border transactions globally for whoever they need to pay. So think of us as the account payable for a large marketplace or a development company that needs to hire offshore workers or has an offshore payroll or an obligation invoice offshore. We handle collecting those funds for those companies and in a mass distribution way, paying people globally. In our specialty, we really focus a lot on emerging markets, so we dig deep there. And so that's the core of what we do. And we feel really fortunate that we were able to partner up with the Business Council for International Understanding to get this survey done.
All right. Now, thank you for that. Now, how does TransPay differentiate itself from making those payments in the marketplace?
So TransPay has built a proprietary network of a direct-to-bank network. So we have bank relationships all over the world, relationships that we own. So we are able to process in, same day to real time in directly into about 90% of the global bank accounts. And so we can bypass middlemen and know exactly, rates and fees. And so there's no surprises in our service. It's what you see is what you get as far as pricing. And the funds end up in the person's bank account very, very quickly and exactly what they expect.
All right. Now, TransPay recently published its Digital Women's Survey, which assesses the benefits and challenges faced by women using online platforms to engage customers in other countries. So why did you conduct this survey now, and which findings were really the most compelling?
So we decided to do the survey now as the digital economy has been growing hand over fist with freelancers and developers globally in a cross-border scenario. And we wanted to dive in deeper as we feel that in certain countries, there is less opportunity for women to have substantial roles in the workforce. And we wanted to dig a little deeper and compare that against a survey that we compiled in the U.S. as well to be able to compare against the U.S. workforce. And so we thought the timing was good due to the growth that's happening in this space. I think the most interesting things that we found in the survey was that 97% of the women freelancers in the U.S. and 67% of those in India identify the digital channel employment as a beneficial source for their financial well-being. So they view it as important for them to be able to get ahead. I think another one that is particularly interesting is that 40% of India respondents cite the ability to earn more via the online channel than they have as opportunity within country. So by outsourcing or being hired by an outsourced opportunity offshore, they're able to create more income for themselves and more fulfilling work that suits what they like to do.
Great. Thank you for that. Now, what are, from the survey findings, what are the greatest challenges for these women and how do you think that they can be solved?
Some of the biggest challenges really, again, we're a payments company and we're focused on paying people around the world. So we asked about their work experience, but we also dove deep on how they are paid. And so we really dug deep on the payout side of how they earn their money in a cross-border scenario. And what we found was the biggest challenges from the survey we provide was that they're being charged fees that they are potentially unaware of. The timing of the transaction to them is longer than they would like. And so what we're seeing is money that they are earning due to the payment channels that are accessible to them are delaying the money getting to them, one, and two, the money that is received is less than the amount that they earned based on, you know, foreign exchange markups and or multiple parties in the mix to actually get the payment to them. A lot of the survey asked about, you know, how they're paid and what they how they would like to be paid. And the interesting thing was a lot of the women have said preferably that they would like the funds directly into their bank account. However, 0% of the respondents we happen to have in India actually got money directly into their bank account. And only 30% of the U.S. women that were surveyed received direct-to-bank transfers. However, 40% had identified that as the primary way they would like to be paid.
Now, how do you see the freelance payments landscape evolving, particularly in India, over the next few years?
Well, it's been growing double digits over the last few years, and we expect that to continue. Women are more empowered than they have been in the past due to the digital economy opportunities that's provided them. The cross-border payment volumes we see are growing to reflect the growing workforce that is being generated. And it is an opportunity for payments company like TransPay and others like us to fill. The long-term outlook for cross-border payment space, when we ask the respondents, believe that they are very optimistic that, I'm sorry, they are, they're less than optimistic. Only 13% felt that payments would become seamless in a real-time process, which does provide opportunities for companies like ours that do focus on products that make it more seamless and more real-time. Conversely, you know, 17% of the cross-border payments will be obsolete, replaced entirely with cryptocurrency, is what people believe. And I think that's a fascinating statistic in an emerging market where they believe that 70% of a Bitcoin or a blockchain-type solution is the future for them. I would expect that percent to be much lower, but we were surprised by that number.
Excellent. So now, what recommendations do you have for women entrepreneurs or freelancers who are looking to get paid overseas?
Well, I think the real key here is educate yourself on what's available to you. So you need to make sure, or they need to make sure, that they understand all of the process of how they're paid. So the flow, if you will. How does the money get to them? What are the options for them to receive the money? What are the fees that are involved across all of those? And in particular, they should really be focused on the foreign exchange, if there is one, and obviously in India there is, focused on how the FX is applied and what that is against all of the different methods that are made available to them. More and more merchants or people that are hiring offshore are offering people multiple ways to be paid, which is a good thing, a good evolution for the choice by that worker. However, all of them have very unique and distinct ways that fees are applied. And you know, there's lots of hops in the middle with intermediaries and every time it touches somebody, nobody does anything for free, right? And so their actual net that they receive is impacted. So it's people touching it as well as the foreign exchange that's charged.
Right. Now, you can't really have a discussion about cross-border payments without talking about blockchain. So do you think that blockchain will play a role in improving payments for freelancers, for foreign-based employees? And is this new technology a challenge for many cross-border payment providers?
Good question. The technology is incredibly interesting. It's certainly receiving lots of attention in the press and by big corporations and banks that are looking at it as a future potential solution. I think it's still quite early days. It's touted as a secure way to process and streamline and transparent and secure and all of these great things. And I think ultimately it's too early to say if blockchain will play a big role. It's certainly something to watch. The reality is, to establish a real international scale cross-border ecosystem, it requires a lot of collaboration of policy within the governments. You need to have special talent to understand and distribute, right? So workers need to be educated on how to actually process these things. Central governments need to decide how they're going to deal with things. And when we're dealing with an emerging market, right now people are struggling just how to get normal fiat currencies into their systems with currency controls, and they're worried about the valuation of their currency. They're not today focused, I think, at an emerging market country level on figuring out how blockchain plays for them. There's a real concern over, if you don't have something that fits more universal, how do you actually provide a universal solution? So one country may say it's a derivative, or one may say it's actual currency, and one may say something else. And how does a payment provider play in that space and stay compliant across all of the regs that will come out? And regs haven't been drawn up yet. And so I think that's really where we sit today. Is it's very, very interesting. It is a fantastic technology to look at to solve some of these problems. But until you get down to the governments figuring out how they're going to deal with it, I think that's the number one thing that's going to delay. And banks traditionally won't do anything until the governments or the central banks tell them it's okay to. And then secondarily, there has to be a way, an easy way, for these workers to actually receive their funds, right? It's great to get something in digital, but if you can't convert it to fiat where they can actually spend it easily within country to pay payroll, to get money to buy groceries, you know, those sorts of things, I think while it is incredibly interesting, I think it's still a long way away until we figure all these things out.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Peter, for taking the time today for speaking to us about the TransPay Digital Women's Survey, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate it.